I'd like to give a shout out to my the research team that I work with, as well as my practice-based research partners in all the states that we work closely with, as well as to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that funds so much of this work that we do. So thank you all for having me. I'm going to be talking about a couple of twin studies here, one after another. This one is going to focus on communicable disease control, and then I'm going to talk about environmental health, or specifically food safety. And I'm not going to be talking about the communicable disease control in the way that someone asked it, Nancy, but we're doing, that's another study that I won't be talking about today. So sorry about that. Anyway, I have no financial interest to disclose. The FAST study, which was mentioned, is the study I oversee in MPIF. It's predominantly funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it's kind of this three-pronged enterprise. It's a data repository. It's a resource around data harmonization and data standardization, which I'll touch on. And it's a diverse team of researchers. I'm going to talk today, the studies I'm going to talk today about really kind of draw upon the research aspects of what we're doing. And I'm going to focus on local public health systems and what roles the local health departments play in contributing to healthy communities or healthy outcomes. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what we're doing with FAST, with this sort of large enterprise study that's been going on for since 2000, is really ultimately to gather the data and the expertise together to look at, with a focus on local public health systems, what works for what populations and under what conditions. And it's no easy task. And therefore requires this really interactive practice and research partnership. So that's what these PBRNs are really all about, is this marriage between practice and research. And none of this work that probably any of us here are talking about today could be done without this collaboration. So in our case, we get regular input from public health practice partners around the data we obtain, the data we're working with, the problems with the data, the interpreting what we see, et cetera. So, and I'm going to be presenting today on a suite of three studies. I have, Nancy, can you hand me this? If folks are interested, yeah, afterwards I have a research brief about this whole suite of three studies. If folks are interested, come up front and grab one of these. But I'm going to be talking about two of the three. Last year I talked about the maternal child health aspect of the same suite. And I'll focus now on communicable disease. So as a background to this communicable disease focus, we know that there's this fundamental relationship that exists between local health department spending and health. We have demonstrated that at a kind of high level around mortality and research done by myself and Glenn Mays and a few others. But really getting into that, how that works and how that relates to specific program areas has been elusive. And a lot of that has been due to the difficulties are often have to do with the data. So regarding communicable disease control, and I'm going to focus really on immunization services here, we've also been seeing immunization services by local health departments have been one of the most consistent, stable things that have changed the least across health departments for years and years. New data from the National Association of County and City Health Officials indicates that these services are really changing now among local health departments. At the same time that we are having, not necessarily this being a cause and effect, but we're having increased rates of pertussis and measles and vaccine hesitancy, et cetera. But what health departments typically have done, the work they do, tends to be around providing vaccinations, coordinating vaccine distribution in communities, education in communities, surveillance, et cetera. And then immunization rates are monitored generally through state registries. That vary from state to state, too, I might add. So our research question here, and since it's a practice-based research network, the questions are generally kind of driven from our practice partners. We were looking at local health department expenditures on immunization-related services and their impact on population health outcomes. And in here we were looking at on decreasing rates of pertussis and increasing immunization completeness, rates of immunization completeness. So here's a little glimpse at some of our data. In this case, we were looking at four states. We started out looking at four states. And you'll see here, I show this slide just to show how dramatically different these, this is at a communicable disease, this is total communicable disease spending by health department, or over the state average across each of these four states. Now we were looking again, remember, at the local level, but this shows the tremendous difference in spending by state, by local, and it's even more different by local health department, and the difference over time. Changes in these differences by rural versus urban spending, urban on the left, more rural on the right, and how these different states really spend different amounts of money relative to rural or urban. It's dramatically different. So these depictions really raise huge questions regarding the differences in policy and practice, or the data they have here, et cetera. So unfortunately, there was not a whole lot we could do with these data given the differences in the nature of these data and what they depicted, et cetera, which is partly what drives some of these big differences. But we looked at immunization spending in particular. So these are the two analytic models that we basically ran. You'll see immunization expenditures on the left, and here's we looked at it for Florida, New York, and Washington. And the upper left is over 11 years. We had 11 years of annual data, so quite a bit of good data over some couple hundred of local health departments across the entire three states. And we also look at immunization expenditures in the lower model for New York and Washington just for 1 year, and I'll tell you why. And that is because our two models, one for pertussis rates, we had pertussis rates for 11 years annually, but for the immunization completeness model, we really could only come up with 1 year of good data for two of those states, so we really could only run a one-year model, a cross-sectional model for the lower model, which has really, really, really made me sad, because the immunization rate completeness ought to be the thing, right, that money really ought to have an impact on. And we really wanted to look at toddler completeness, because there's very little variation. Everybody's got good data around five-year-olds. For five-year-old immunization, but there's very little variation, et cetera. So we really wanted to focus on rates of toddler completeness, but we were very hampered by the data. So we ran these models and controlled for other factors related to a lot of community demographics, socioeconomic status, local health department characteristics. We also included other community providers, so from the NACHO profile, the National Association of County City Health Officials, their profile data of local health departments provides other variables whereby we could include whether another provider in that community was providing a related service. We control for geography state, et cetera. We ran many analytic models. We stratified in a variety of different ways, but honed in on stratifying by jurisdiction poverty tertile. So in that state were the most, the highest one-third, counties with the highest poverty, one-third highest poverty in that state. And those were the, quote, poor counties, and then the remaining two-thirds in each state were the non-poor, the less poor counties. And our results regarding our outcomes for pertussis, rates varied somewhat across the states with some periodic spikes. Washington gets the most generally. We've got a lot of kind of very independent kind of Western folks. Regarding our results on immunization completeness, so this is immunization rate completeness by population density. You'll see in the lower right-hand corner is the U.S., across the U.S., but you'll see that Florida kind of is represented, the Florida states like Florida are represented in the far side of that U.S. Graph, and the states of New York and Washington are more like the left half of that graph. So high density doesn't really mean greater immunization completeness in New York and Washington, basically. But there's huge variation by state. Again, you'd think that you'd be able to find some, have some really nice findings with the level of variation we've got. Also, here's the mean per capita immunization expenditures for all the local health departments in our sample, with somewhat decreasing in Washington at the top, the red line at the top, and increasing a bit in New York, the bottom line, the blue at the bottom. So a lot is going on with these data. The results, however, were very frustrating, I have to say. Don't worry, stay tuned. The next story with environmental health is a good one. But this one, with all the variation, one could expect to really find something interesting here. And not to mention, immunizations are sort of the bread and butter of public health, the thing we've been doing and looking at for 150 years or more. But regretfully, we found no significant results. So the outcomes change nicely relative to spending in ways that you might expect. The signs, the coefficients, et cetera, they changed appropriately with improved spending and with more precise modeling. So the signs were there that we were onto something, that it could look good, both with our pertussis models and with our immunization completeness models, and we got close to significance, but it wasn't. We never had significant findings. So the bottom line was that we felt like we were on the right track. More data are needed. More sophisticated modeling techniques are needed. And more types of data, which I'll get to in a minute, are needed. We also did look at TB, I should mention. This was about immunizations here, talking about more about immunizations. And we did find that, you know, there was a strong relationship between TB cases and TB spending, but it went the other way. Basically, TB cases cost health departments a lot of money. And so we'll be writing up a brief synopsis of that. We're also going to be writing up a paper on the methods we use. We really, really worked through quite a bit of very complicated econometric approaches for this immunization and communicable disease modeling that we want to serve the field in terms of next steps and our own as well. But the bottom line is that the potential is there for administrative data or data like this to really tell a story about the value of public health services around communicable disease and how they impact a population's health. But the data problems are huge, even with this bread and butter public health activity specific to immunization services. We had no way to account for specific activities that health departments were doing. Were they putting shots in arms? Were they doing more vaccine distribution? Were they doing more education, et cetera, or are they focusing on specific target populations? We didn't even really have the immunization spending. We expect that most of that spending is associated with childhood immunizations, but we could not disaggregate spending on childhood immunizations activity versus adults. And we know that there's some activity around flu, et cetera, for adults. That kind of muddied the waters as well. But the bottom line is that there is a huge need to demonstrate this contribution of local health department activity on communicable disease control, particularly given the spotlight we have on local health departments right now in terms of public health systems, and we do communicable disease control. The spotlight is on us, and all the more reason, I think, for us to be able to talk about this and demonstrate it. So as a follow-on to that, I'll be talking more about this at a session tomorrow at 10:30. There, we've been charged by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to really help develop and facilitate better data collection and standardization, and in particular around items, standardization of public health service delivery activities. So here's our website, fastdata.org, and a glimpse at our a page on our website about the standardized service measures that have been already developed through a six-state collaboration. And we've been working with states and health departments around building those measures, standardized measures, into their own systems, and we're facilitating the development of that. Here's an example of honing in on some of these measures around communicable disease control in particular, which is too much here to talk about specifically, but it's just a taste of what we'd like people to be collecting, which would help for models like these that I described. Here's some of our papers related to this work, which are also mentioned in this brief. And that's it for that one.